Welcome to Insignium Bits, conversations about breakthrough, innovation, and transformation.
So I'd like to introduce my friend and business colleague, Colleen Flesher.
Colleen Flesher has been a leader in the medical device industry for more than 20 years. Do I have that right?
Is it? Yes. It's getting closer to 25, but we'll leave it at just over 20. All right.
Wow. And everywhere from Synthes to J&J to Lima, you have progressed up the ranks of accountability, most recently leading as the president and GM of Lima USA. Yes?
That's right.
If I could just dive into one of our first topics we thought that would be interesting to discuss. A lot of people are in this position. You recently chose to leave Lima. Would really love to hear your perspective on that transition and, you know, what you're looking at as far as, you know, challenges and fears, as well as your aspirations.
Yeah. Thanks, Ashley. Thanks. We'll jump right in. And I think it's an exciting time for me. It's one of those periods where I've been able to take some time and reflect on what's important and really try to look at what I want going forward, not just what the next best opportunity is. And I think for me, that's a real upside of making a change like this. And I feel very fortunate that I do have a little bit of time to have that reflection. But I've spent my entire career in orthopedics, as you mentioned. So almost 25 years now in orthopedics. And so starting with Synthes very early on, right out of my graduate program, I just sort of was on this track, right? This development course with Synthes and then DePuy Synthes once we got acquired by J&J. And so I didn't really have to think too much, right? I mean, it was opportunities were presented. I took them. I felt like I was delivering on what was being asked of me. And it wasn't until March of 2019 when I looked at where I was with J&J and what I had aspired to do, which was to really be a general manager of a business. Those opportunities at J&J just weren't there. I mean, unless you're the CEO of the company, you don't really have all the responsibility for the functions. And so I was fortunate enough to tap into my network and get an offer presented by Lima to run the business for the US. And we could talk a lot about transformations and I think some innovation that I saw through that 3.5 years almost with Lima, especially with the impact of the pandemic on healthcare procedures, which, as you well know, was a tremendous impact. Looking at the Lima opportunity back in 2019 for me was very exciting because it was the first real opportunity that I would have to be a general manager and to lead across all the functions that I had touched throughout my career, but didn't have that direct responsibility. And so that was certainly a transformational experience for me personally as a leader. I was the most senior person in the US and going through a pandemic where our headquarters are in Northern Italy. And as I'm sure you recall, that was a hotspot very early on for COVID-19. I learned a lot. I learned how to tap into resources and people and support that I wouldn't otherwise if I had been with a larger organization during that crisis. And so through 3 years, I can't say enough about the experience and the learnings and the growth that I had, but it was really time for me to make a change. And this time I'm looking at things through a different lens. And I think it's exciting to take that moment to consider things both professionally, but also personally, really for the first time in my career.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Colleen, because, you know, you're not the only one, in fact, many executives
yes.
chose to make a departure right at the either at different points during the pandemic. You saw it through to the end of the big phase of the lockdowns and everything. And I have so many questions to ask you about those moments in time. But it seems like, just like heard from others, your perspective on transitioning out of your career, you seem very bold and confident. And I think that that's refreshing, that people are really reevaluating what they want to do and how they want to do it.
Yeah, thank you. I think the confidence comes from when you bet on yourself and you can trust yourself that you know that you're going to do whatever it takes, right? And I think if you tap into that, anyone can experience that confidence and feel almost that certainty things will work out the way that they're meant to be. And if you really have had that past experience of relying on not only yourself, but the people who care about you and who know you, and, you know, people like you, Ashley. I mean, you've been wonderful in making connections for me and always kind of keeping even what feels like sometimes a dormant tie fresh and alive, and making sure that we can support each other in business and personally as well.
Well, I must ask you about some of the things you referred to. If we can jump to this conversation about being a female leader in a predominantly male industry and male company, I mean, what's that been like, evolving yourself and climbing the corporate ladder and taking on new accountability and navigating being a female leader in a predominantly male industry?
Yeah, it's something that's almost hard to wrap your head around unless you're in it. And, you know, I think that sometimes numbers help frame it, right? So if you think about a predominantly male industry, orthopedic, the industry really follows the profession of orthopedic surgery. And in the last survey that was done by the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, the response from at least their membership, which pretty well represents orthopedics as a whole, 96% of the respondents were male and 4% were female. And you know, like many industries, right, the businesses follow their customers and we follow the surgeons. And so it's not unheard of, or, you know, it's not like you can't understand why it wouldn't be primarily male led industry, but it does make it really challenging in a lot of ways to advance, to feel like you have role models that look like you, or, and to have sometimes the support that you need going through, whether it's a transition or a challenging time. So I've been really fortunate. I've had a ton of male leaders who have been wonderful role models for me. And I would say more recently, I got connected with someone, who is a female leader. She was on the board at Lima, and has been just a refreshing role model for me personally, and someone that has actually been supporting me. And it feels nice. You want to make sure that you're kind of building connections wherever they come, but there is something really special, I think, about connecting with other females in your industry.
And it sounds like, and just from knowing you, I know that you haven't sat back. You're not somebody who would complain about not having a female mentor. You would just go out and find a mentor. It doesn't have to be a male or a female. It doesn't, you know, matter. You're going to find who you need to help support you. But I hear what you're saying about it being refreshing to actually come upon one when there are fewer. And I appreciate you giving us some of that data. That's useful. You know, you talk about her supporting you, and I'm curious, you as a leader, had to, especially through, like you called it, a crisis, keep people engaged and performing. And especially during a time where, you know, procedures for orthopedics were, you know, up in the air. How did you do it? And what did you do?
Well, you're prioritizing, right? Every minute of the day, it's a priority game. And I remember back in April of 2020, our sales for the month were 20% of what they had been in our previous monthly average. So that's very scary, especially when you're a small company like ours. And fortunately, we had really good support and leadership from our private equity, our shareholders. But it was definitely a scary time. And I think for me, I had to tune into what's most important. And that's sort of a, I would say, not just a business question, but it's a people question. And it was around communicating. What do we know? What do we don't know? Right. And really, I mean, to the customers, to our employees, to basically all stakeholders, I was reaching out to some contacts that I have at a very senior level with our direct competitors. And I said, how are you getting your reps into the OR to support these cases? It's a patient safety challenge that's in front of us. How do we work to try to make sure that we're putting patients first and supporting our surgeons in the OR? And I was getting a lot of advice, and I never saw industry come together like that before. And I think I surprised myself, and I think my team continued to surprise themselves with how connected we could stay with our customers and with each other. And even, like I said, with the competitors in the industry, it was definitely all hands on deck, and we got through it. I would never want to do it again, but I can tell you, if you think about transformation, going through something like that, it doesn't leave you the same, right? And I think it certainly made me stronger and a leader who will listen to their gut more than I did before that, for sure.
You know, the impact of the pandemic was, broad sweeping on healthcare procedures. What do you see is the impact on orthopedics going forward? Do you see any trends that are not going away? Do you think that the context of how and when and why operations happen or business decisions get made, or what do you see has been the impact on healthcare in general?
Again, my lens is primarily orthopedics, but I would say, you know, really number one is trying to make sure that we're leaning out the system, right? If you think about hospitals prioritizing care for patients, and then they're prioritizing what is necessary for them from both a support perspective, because they want to minimize the people who are in the OR. So they're minimizing exposure for their patients and their employees to all sorts of things, right? Just not just COVID-19, but any type of any type of communicable disease that might be present. They want to protect their patients and their employees. So they're looking at things from what's the standard of care that we can maintain, but have the right number of people be part of that in the hospital. There's also the shift towards the ambulatory surgery center. So a smaller setting, more specialized, more focused. So again, you have orthopedics procedures being done in these specialized centers. And that's a good thing for those patients, because you have fewer exposures to, you know, other non-orthopedic, non-elective type of cases for those patients. So it creates a safer environment, an easier environment for them to get that care. And then I would say cost has always been a huge driver for the negotiations that you see with industry and healthcare, the hospitals specifically who are negotiating. But now more than ever, I mean, the bottom line is getting so crunched by all the supply chain challenges that we're still seeing. So I think, companies who can really innovate, not just on the product and the instrument side, which is the traditional innovation for orthopedics, but who are innovating on the delivery model side and the go-to-market process. So thinking about how to lean out the equipment, the support, and making sure that the maximum value is generated for the hospitals, the surgeons, and ultimately the patients. Those are things that were important pre-pandemic, but man, they got accelerated tenfold during the pandemic. And I don't think we're ever going back, which is a good thing, because I think the more value we can create at the most reasonable cost, what that does is it expands access for patients exponentially. And so I think that's a really important benefit or upside of something that was obviously very traumatic and a tragic situation. I think it allowed for industries like orthopedics to have some breakthroughs and make some changes.
Well, that's a wonderful silver lining. I think we've all seen a lot of silver linings despite the tragedy of the pandemic. So glad to hear about that in the orthopedics industry. Any aspirations you want to leave us with, how you're approaching your next chapter or journey?
Yeah, I'm in it, right? So I think I'm really close to it. But what I'm feeling right now is an excitement and probably an openness more than anything else to leveraging this deep knowledge in an industry and trying to look at it in a broader sense and say, how can I have the biggest impact? How can I create value and also keep things fresh for me and keep things, always in a mode where I'm learning and I'm growing and also, continuing to create and preserve some space for my family. I mean, I've got two small boys. They're not so small anymore, actually, right? 14 and almost 12. My 14-year-old's definitely like a head taller than me at this point. So they're growing fast. And I think whereas earlier in my career, I probably did a lot to hide the fact that I was a woman, right? Like, it's kind of silly to say that, but I would really downplay anything related to being a woman or a mother. And I felt like that was to fit into this industry. Now I definitely see what I bring to the table as an advantage, right? It's something that I think even during the pandemic, it came through. People knew with 100% certainty that I cared about them. And I didn't hide that. And they appreciated it. And I think it motivated them and it made them, you know, hugely loyal to me. I could feel it. They've said it. They've shown it. And it's really, that's a good feeling. So for me, this next chapter, if you will, I think I won't be as shy as I have been about really showing who I am and letting that be a big asset as opposed to something that I tried to downplay before.
Colleen, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure to have you and talk about all the ways in which you've experienced breakthrough, innovation, and transformation.
Over 30 years ago, Insignium pioneered the field of organizational transformation. Please continue to our library in the episodes page of your podcast tool of choice.